This week's episode is brought to you by Swad Foods.
Oh God, one more podcast?
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome everyone to season two of Desi Standard Time. We are back. We are better. We are ready. We're here to educate. We're here to mess around. We got some goodies this season for sure that we're very excited to share with you guys. We got some guests coming on that are, you know, some of you guys have already been asking about, and we've teased a little bit. We've got some insights. We've got new ideas. We've got new platforms. We've got some visuals. We all over this thing. We all over
new
this
wardrobe,
thing.
New wardrobe.
Oh man,
we're coming at you guys. New locations.
I see you got that. You see you got that recording studio going for you, bro. It's very nice.
It's I'm trying, man. This is a total DIY affair. Having a good time though. It's a little bit of a therapeutic. Yeah. I feel very official now. You know,
you are, dude. You're 100%. You're a true podcaster. Yeah. We actually flipped for it. You know, we had such a good first season, and we saved enough money from, you know, just sponsorships and doing stuff that we flipped for it because there's two of us and there's only enough money to make one studio. And Mazali won, so we furnished him with a nice little studio out there.
Yes,
in California.
At least just 35 grand has gone into this.
Oh yeah, 35 grand. That's how big we've gotten, guys. If you don't know, that's how much we made.
I mean, just crazy. Overwhelming love, support, fandom, people practically mailing us money and cash in mail.
Yeah. Feel free to keep sending us envelopes full of cash. That's how
we roll. Loyal fan base.
Tax-free, baby. Tax-free.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. So, season two, we're here. You know, last season, we really dived into Bollywood and took a very, I think, critical look at the different aspects of Bollywood, how it affected us growing up, how it was, you know, kind of affecting our current present, and then how, you know, what we can kind of expect in the future. This season, our focus shifts a little bit over to the west side of India, and that is Pakistan. We're both Pakistani. We're super excited about this, and I think that we want to talk about I think a good way to start the season off is really just talking about the crossover of Pakistani media into Bollywood, right? So we're coming from Bollywood. Let's talk about how, you know, a lot of Pakistani media feeds into Bollywood, and it all starts kind of in this idea of Lollywood. And I'm not going to lie, I was today years old when I learned that the reason why they named Bollywood is because it's Hollywood in Bombay. So I'm an idiot. And Lollywood made that even more clear because this industry was built in Lahore. So, you know, post-partition, these were the two big cities where the arts were really thriving. This is where the movies were being made in Pakistan. And you saw a pretty decent, like, I guess in terms of size and stature, these Urdu feature films coming out of Pakistan from Lahore. It was, you know, at one point it was the fourth largest film industry in the world. It was doing really, really good job pushing out, you know, hundreds of movies a year. And then slowly over the years, that kind of changed. And it kind of coincided with how Pakistan trended over the better part of the 60s and 70s and early 80s. You know, it was a lot more Islamified. There was a lot more censorship. There was a lot more conservative kind of outlooks. And that, along with that, we saw a little bit of a decline as well in Lollywood. So, Mazali, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what your thoughts are on what happened with the industry and really, you know, why this is such a problem for us?
Yeah, it's first off, I'm surprised that you never put the two and two together that it was Bollywood because
I'm
of Bombay.
I'm an idiot.
Damn, it's all right. Yeah, because we have Tollywood. There's Nollywood, even like the Nigerians, coming out. You know, Nollywood, Nigeria, Nollywood, Tollywood.
Incredible.
And so Lahore, Lollywood. Here we are.
But Tollywood is like because it's in Tamil, right?
That's true. Yeah. So
is it coming out of Tamil Nadu? Maybe I'm
Tamil,
stupid.
Maybe I don't. Well,
shows how much
we need
to explore. Shows
yeah, leading experts right here, everybody. You're looking at them. but yeah, you're right. There's definitely, there was an influx in a lot of Urdu movies Lollywood movies, if you will, as you said, and then over the course of time declined. And you know, one of the some of the themes that we that you will be seeing in this season is just the censorship and the Islamification, as you said, Moscon. You know, Zia-ul Huq came to power 1977. He started his regime, and he really wanted to make sure that Western ideologies were not really implemented amongst the nation of Pakistan. So part of that in the efforts was taken away and really kind of subduing the Lollywood production. And a lot of actors and actresses actually that we've seen in Bollywood got their start in Lollywood. Right. So there, you know, the popular route we typically tend to see is Pakistani drama way. So dramas are huge in Pakistan. I would say that Bollywood, India, the defining feature and defining traits are the Bollywood movies. But in Pakistan, the first thing you think of is Paki dramas.
Right.
They're intense. They're long. They're wild. They're crazy. They're pure.
For sure. I think growing up, that's like what all Pakistani people experience is like you'll watch Bollywood movies. Right. And you'll listen to Bollywood songs. But the day to day kind of like what your parents are watching is Pakistani dramas. Like they are. My mom still, to this day, is all about the Pakistani dramas. She'll like, turn it on at like noon, and there'll be like four or five that she needs to get through before you know she's done for the day.
It's a job.
It's a full-time job.
It's literally a full-time job. My mom shared her schedule of her 7 days, and she on which day specifically she watches which drama. And she told me, she sent a picture of it. She's like, here's this. If you want to be able to keep up with me and watch these dramas and discuss and have discourse with me, you need to get on the schedule.
Right. So we're gonna have a whole episode devoted to the dramas because that's literally how much stuff there is in there. But right, Maz, you brought up a good point. You know, that in Pakistan, dramas have kind of ruled for the last, you know, few decades, and it's because Lollywood kind of saw this decline. And it's kind of like you said, you know, the Islamification, the kind of more conservative nature of Pakistan really led to that. And you're right. So we see a lot of actors and actresses start out in Lollywood and then make the move over to Bollywood.
Absolutely. Yeah, and definitely in the drama episode we'll get into more of the what goes into making a standard Pakistani drama and to make it great. But you know, we mentioned actors and actresses, right? Just to name a few, there's the Fawad Khans of the world, Mahira Khan, Imran Abbas, and then we have singers as well. We have Atif Aslam, who is obviously one of the greatest transition stories from Pakistan to India, as well as Ali Zafar, who also made a transition as well. So there's a countless number of talent that's constantly moving over to Pakistan, to India from Pakistan. And then obviously, you know, given the tensions between the countries, there has been a lot of hiccups along the way. But generally, the push forward and trying to collaborate and merge between the two industries has been awesome, and hopefully we're definitely like looking to see and push forward and see that we're going to be seeing that a lot more often.
That would be the ideal situation, is we start to see a little bit more collaboration between the two, because I think there's some great talent in Pakistan. But here I think Mazali is a problem, right? Now that I just said your name, I realized I didn't introduce it at the beginning of the episode, but you know, Our listeners know who we are.
Oh, they know. They know.
This is Mazcon. That's Mazali. We're here. Mazali. We're here for you. Mazali. The Mazes.
Hi.
But this is the problem, I think, is that, you know, you get this talent that is kind of homegrown, and it goes through the different levels in Pakistan. And I think that you always start kind of in that, you know, the drama level, and you'll come on as like a side character. You'll be someone that like people are like, oh, man, like I love that one side character. Next thing you know, they'll kind of jump into the next stratosphere and start coming in movies. You'll see them in Lollywood movies, and that will put them on the stage, and you'll see them in full-length features, because it's very different, the format, right, between a drama and a movie. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, someone from Bollywood will notice them and say, you know what, that person could do pretty well in my movie. And, you know, we'll talk about the different kind of folks that have done this, both through movies as well as music, but you get this exodus of talent. And I want to talk about that a little bit. And I think that's really detrimental to the Lollywood industry and the Pakistani media game at large, because what happens is you get this homegrown talent, like we're talking about, they go through the different steps in Pakistan, they get discovered. And next thing you know, they're I don't blame, you can't blame them, right? They're going to a bigger market. They're going to get more exposure. They're going to get more money. They're going to get more fame.
It's a big league.
Bollywood is huge. I think you've described it aptly as the big leagues and Lollywood almost being like the little league, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that in order to really become a sort of household name, you really make the jump into Bollywood, right? We see this everywhere, right? There's you know, the G League of the NBA, you make it to the NBA. There is you start your career in baseball as an Oakland Athletic, then you really hit your prime as a New York Yankee,
right?
And then you start retiring and finish off your career as a San Francisco Giant, right? For any sports buffs out there, but I think that's what it is. There's a lot of, if they really want to take their career to the next level and almost have credibility more so than anything and power, right?
Right.
Because in order, the theme in a lot of these, and most of the world is that people will, for lack of a better term, not saying this is what's really applied to Pakistani artists, but as sellouts, a lot of people are like, oh my God, they sold out, they went to the big leagues or this and that. But you kind of have to do that sometimes in order to hopefully one day bring credibility back to where you even came from, right? So the idea that I like to see, and I'm ambitious and optimistic in the Fawad Khans, the Mahira Khans of the world, have gone to India and Bollywood and really established the name. So they have a large demographic now, a large fan base, and then they bring that back into Lollywood. And now you're bringing in the Indian demographic. You're bringing in a much wider array of people to hopefully the projects that are going to be forthcoming at Pakistan then.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that would be the nice collaborative way to do it. And, you know, unfortunately the truth is, and we'll talk about this in one of our later episodes, but the truth is that the tensions between Pakistan and India continue to be, you know, not at a great place. How realistic that approach is, we're going to get into that in a little bit, especially when we're talking about Mahira and Fawad and how they were received initially in the Bollywood industry. But, you know, there's a lot of tension that's created between the two countries. And unfortunately, these entertainment industries get they get entwined with those politics. And I think, you know, people need to understand these guys are our almost demigods, right? Like you look to these guys and you almost trust them more than politicians, more than you know, like outside of like certain cricket players, and a lot of these guys marry cricket players, right? So like these guys are our like heroes in these countries. So when you look at you know, Pakistan and India, you look at who has influence. I think there's no doubt that the actors and actresses that comprise the relative industries are by far some of the most powerful people in the country, bar none. And to put into perspective what Maz Ali was saying, you know, just a second ago, is it really is like the little leagues. You know, we're talking about an industry, Lollywood, that's putting out, you know, something like 15 to 20 movies a year. That's nothing, you know, like we're going to put out 10 episodes of this podcast, you know, in a year. And if, you know, if we want to do videos, we've done lives and whatever, like think about how easy it is to put out as an industry, 15 to 20 movies in a single year, as an entire industry, this from, you know, being one of the top industries in the world, down to 15 or 20. And then we've got Bollywood, you know, whipping out hundreds, if not thousands of movies in any given year. So there's a big difference in, I think, the breadth of these two industries. And there's starting to become kind of a big difference in the talent in these two industries, as the good talent tends to leave.
Yeah.
And I hope you're right. I think that, you know, we're going to definitely talk about this when we talk about the individual stars that we've seen cross over. But, you know, one of the best ways that I think you outlined it perfectly, right? Like nothing is better than like sending this guy over there, being a covert agent, getting some fans, winning over people's hearts, and then coming on back. And not that it's a competition, but just bringing some of that demographic back. And I feel like I'm Shah Rukh Khan in Veer Zara at the very end, you know, like Mehekedi number 786, Jer ke Silako se bahar dekh raha hun. Like we're all the same, so why can't we all like share these industries and create art together? Mm-hmm. And we've seen that being proven that when you do that, sometimes you get amazing, incredible results.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. No, I think you nailed it on the head with the fact that these actors, singers, these entertainers that we really look up to so much. I mean, they're really the ones that change the tides and the opinions of people. And so is that much more important that takes place? And when that's really like shut down, it really is like a damn shame. Because at the end of the day, they're just bringing joy and happiness to people. You know, who knows what they do in their own personal lives, but at least on screen, that's what they're doing, right? So yeah, right. We'll definitely jump right back into that. But for now, let's take a quick break and let's hear from this week's South Asian Spotlight. That's right. We're bringing back the South Asian Spotlights every single episode. Shout out to all the South Asian small businesses out there. We're going to continue to show love. So let's hear from this week's Spotlight. And we'll dive right back into this shortly. Java. Basmati rice, chana dal, coriander powder. What do all these desi household staples have in common? Four letters. S-W-A-D, a.k.a. SWAD.
SWAD meaning flavor. Oh, man. You know what? I'm getting flashbacks right now to having to open those crazy string-tied rice bags for my mom. Oh, my God. They were so much work.
Okay. I don't care if you're Mr. Olympia, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Incredible Hulk. Those are impossible to open. But do you ever think that was intentional? Because good things come to those who wait, right? That rice quality was worth every pull of the string.
You know what? I think you've got a point. Because all jokes aside, SWAD Foods has been a household name now for Indian groceries for over 5 decades. They know what they're doing.
Oh my God. Yeah, 5 decades. And it does make sense as it's now the largest selling Indian food brand. And fun fact, they're an original Patel Brothers brand who, if you somehow have never heard of, was spotlighted on season one of our podcast as well.
Yeah, I loved having those guys on. And clearly, I mean, they're doing something right if they have this much reach.
Yeah,
you know what? This conversation has really got me triggered, and now I want some desi food. I'm going to have to go to their Instagram, at SWAD Food Products, get a recipe, and then just go to town. I'm on it.
Oh yeah. Do it, man. Same. And to learn more beyond their Instagram recipes, check out SWADFoodProducts.com.
All right, welcome back. Before the break, we were having a spirited discussion about the cinema of Pakistan and how we're seeing a lot of crossover from Pakistani actors and artists into the Bollywood sphere. We're going to continue down that route and let's look at some case studies. I think the two most famous ones that I want to talk about are Fawad Khan and Mahira Khan. So they're both pretty big names now. They've come in some pretty big Bollywood movies. If you're unfamiliar, I think Fawad is most recognizable from Ae Dil Hai Mushkil. He was Anushka Sharma's love interest.
Sexy also DJ, boyfriend, husband, all things in between.
All things. The very good looking guy, you know? Yes. And he was also, he played a starring role in Kapoor and Sons, what I think is probably his best performance in Bollywood cinema. And he first appeared in, which we'll talk about in a second, but he appeared in Khoobsurat. Alongside everyone's favorite interviewee,
yes. Sonam Kapoor. Everyone's Sonam favorite mouthpiece. The one Sonam Kapoor.
Yeah, man. Okay, so like my first exposure, I'm just going to pause right there. Let's talk about Sonam Kapoor. My first exposure to Sonam Kapoor was this movie, I Hate Love Stories,
with Imran. Yes.
And I loved her. I was like, yo, she's amazing. She's so fantastic. Pretty. This is the best actress ever. This is going to be my favorite actress in the next 20 years.
Just like, you know, innocent actress. You're just like, oh, she's so, oh, you want to like squeeze her cheeks and whatnot.
She's so beautiful. She does a good job in the movie. It's a good movie. I think it's a great movie.
Girl Next Door, right? Like,
right, Girl Next Door type, right? Girl Next Door vibes. Mm-hmm. And she came across, I mean, I love Imran Khan. He's an awesome guy.
Gone too soon.
You know, gone too soon. And that was my first. And then, you know, every interview she's done ever since then, I'm pretty much like, oh my God, you don't have any brain cells. It's actually a fact.
It began with her exposure on Coffee with Karan, when she met Deepika, and they just went on a rant and talked all that smack about Ranbir. And it you just want to be like, just shut up, just chill. And then, man, once I finally saw Khoobsurat, after all the hype, Fawad Khan did nothing wrong, in my opinion, in that movie, but she's the one that just made it so painstaking to watch.
Yeah, wasn't a great movie, and it was kind of, it was a remake, right? So
yeah,
we'll let it be what it was. But for those who aren't aware of the controversy, Fawad, you know, that was his debut in Bollywood acting. But for those of us who have seen him in Pakistani dramas like Humsafar and other Pakistani movies where he had made a really good name for himself, the guy was a really good actor. And, you know, he's really good looking, dresses very well. Not the greatest dancer. Again, that's not a thing in Pakistan as much as singing. And he did have a band, Entity Paradigm.
Entity Paradigm. Don't forget, ever forget that name.
Don't ever forget that name. but he did a pretty decent job, I thought, in Khoobsurat. But then you have these comments made. And I thought that he deserved to get recognition for it as a debut artist, right? Like, this was his first role. He did a good job. You saw a lot of us definitely like rooting for him, like, yo, man, this is Fawad's first movie. He crushed it. Like, can't wait to see him in more stuff. But then you have Sonam Kapoor coming out and being like, oh, the only reason he got famous, really. And I don't, you know, that's not an exact quote. It was something to the tune of, you know, I made him famous. I brought him into this movie, Khoobsurat, and that exposed him. And this is why he got famous.
She kind of almost.
She colonized his ass, right? She colonized him, which is, I mean, props, right? It's hard to do as a brown female, but she was able to do it somehow. And she took credit for it. And I was like, yo, are you serious? Come on now.
I remember the collective amounts of high fives that everybody was giving one another when Khoobsurat was coming out, when word came out that Fawad did what no other Pakistani actor has done. And boom, he's in Khoobsurat. He's in a Bollywood movie, and just the joy and the excitement that it caused, and just the buzz was unreal. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's always like you see someone from another country performing on, you know, a bigger platform, and everyone from their home country supports them, right? Like you saw this with like Yao Ming in the NBA. I think is a good example. Like. China, even like Jeremy Lin. Yeah. I was just about to say even Jeremy Lin. Like this guy was like a relatively like whatever unknown dude, just, you know, had a few good games, and all of a sudden this guy becomes a huge international phenomenon to this day. I don't know if you know this, but Jeremy Lin is playing basketball in China and has like a huge following.
Oh yeah, him.
He's like the biggest star in China. Yeah. Now that, you know, unfortunately Kobe's passed away. He might be the biggest star in China. That's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Jeremy Lin's like basically a nobody in the NBA, but then because it's like you just feel that kind of the relatability with your home folks, and that's how Pakistanis felt about Fawad.
Yeah, exactly. I saw Jeremy Lin in Madison Square Garden. I was proud. I saw him perform in the height of Linsanity.
Oh man, which game was it?
It was against Dallas. It was a Sunday morning on ABC against the Mavericks. 2012. Yeah. And he is relatable not just to Asian American or Asians, but to South Asians as well. He had the same upbringing, at least in the West, right? You know, first generation in the West, and then just someone that you're not expecting to make it. And so you just love that person. So everybody's always a good fan of the underdog story. And I think that also pertained to Fawad's transition into Bollywood as well. It's like, okay, everyone's going to be rooting for this guy.
Right. You would think that you would, and everyone was from Pakistan.
Yeah.
Everyone was rooting for this guy. They were very happy to see him in Bollywood movies because, again, it's not like we stopped watching Bollywood movies. This is pretty much the only movies we watched because Lollywood wasn't making anything good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was the first kind of like, okay, this is kind of weird. It's not, you know, getting the most warm reception in India. And then Adil Hai Mushkil, he was cast by Karan Johar, which, and this was after Kapoor and Sons, right? Kapoor and Sons came first. For those who haven't seen it, Kapoor and Sons is an incredible movie, and Fawad Khan might very well be the best actor in that movie. I think he did an incredible job. His role was probably the hardest to play. He tackles a very tough subject, especially in modern day India or Pakistan, and he did it amazingly well, you know? So definitely recommend watching that movie and seeing his performance. And Karan Johar, who's, you know, in many ways the number one most evil person in the world, but also the number one director in Bollywood in some ways, cast him in his little pet project, Adil Hai Mushkil, alongside Ranbir and Anushka. And you're like, oh, man, like, come up. And then the Indian censor board basically almost shut down the movie because Fawad Khan was in it. And you see these politics come in and kind of ruin everything, right?
Yeah, and just the excuses too. It's like, oh well, I'm gonna stand on the side of my country, what my country thinks is the best. It's like, come on, dude. Like, you brought this guy on for a certain reason too. You knew why you were bringing him on too, right? And then just suddenly, just you know, when the rug is pulled up from under you, and you just fall along with it. I don't know. It was really, really disappointing. But unfortunately, something that we're continuing to see. But again, even his performance in Edo Lemushka was great. I think they took out a lot of scenes once the censorship really honed in. But from what he did, I think he was great.
Which is why his part in that movie seems very empty. You're just like, who is this guy, and why does he just walk in this movie with no context? Very true. Okay, so then let's move on to his co-star in
Humsafar,
Mahira Khan, and she came in, and her big Bollywood breakout was Rais, alongside the biggest name you could possibly be alongside Shah Rukh Khan, and she did great. I think everyone had very positive things to say about her in the Bollywood industry, but there's just no winning with these guys, right? Like, you can't possibly get a break, because then, you know, because Bollywood is still much more liberal in many ways than Lollywood. Definitely if you got your boy Imran Hashmi in a movie, but you know, even if he's not in the movie, there's stages to it. So she definitely, you know, she was showing a little bit more skin than might be normal in a Pakistani movie, dancing with Shah Rukh a little bit more closely than you might see in a Pakistani movie. And that brought a little bit of an outcry from then the Pakistani gang, like, yo, man, Mahira selling out, getting more liberal, calling her dirty names in the press. Like, it just became like this thing. And I was like, yo, these guys can't do anything like without just getting completely criticized from every corner.
No one is ever going to be happy. Yeah, no one's ever going to be happy. But I know that for a fact that it was a dream of Mahira Khan's to make a movie with Shah Rukh Khan. You know, amongst the scope of things, he is the top guy, the top dog. But yeah, you're right. I mean, she did a great job. She had the whole intro in the movie too, where I think she's dancing to that Madhuri song. It was just a cool like little intro, and I think the movie itself, whether it was even Mahira Khan related or not, typically it was one of Shah Rukh Khan's like later projects as well, where he was like, let me just try all these other types of roles. And I actually really liked it. I thought Mahira was great in it too. I thought Shah Rukh was also good, because Shah Rukh Khan was finally this like kind of subdued, just like Gujarati businessman that's just getting by in life. And it was kind of cool to see him do like sort of like a subdued like role where he just let his presence and his who he is like stick out. Enough about him. But going back to Mahira, as a debut, you know, it was fantastic, and I thought she really, really killed it.
I agree. And you know, we haven't really seen her in too much after that in Bollywood. She continues to appear in Lollywood stuff, but I guess we'll see. I don't know if she was maybe discouraged by some of the response that she got from the homeland, or if there's just a lack of projects because of the flack that Fawad got from the censor board. And tensions between Pakistan and India in the last, you know, year have really become terrible. So that's definitely a possibility. Let's move on a little bit now to another. So we've talked about the movie angle, but there's another very interesting angle here, which is the music angle. So these are artists who were kind of born and brought up in Pakistan, made their name there first, were recognized by, you know, someone in the Bollywood industry and brought over. And I think the two you know, kind of big names, especially in recent times, that I can kind of point to, obviously Atif Aslam is a huge talent. Everyone knows who he is. But also Ali Zafar, who probably a lot of people are familiar with, may or may not actually, you know as much about him. Let's start with Atif. I think that's, you know, an easy conversation. Atif, for those who aren't familiar, we'll talk about him more in later episodes for sure. But he started in this Pakistani rock band called Jal.
Yes.
And that's really where he got his start. He was just an angsty kid with a great voice. And this band launched him into stardom overnight in Pakistan. Same songs that everyone's familiar with. Wo Lamhe, Wo Baatein, Adat was the first one.
Yeah. Made that transition. And Maz, who is the actor in Bollywood that had the esteemed privilege to showcase Atif's vocals?
Oh man, our boy Imran Hashmi.
Yeah,
Imran. See, why did anyone get mad about that? Why is it that Optimus's voice is being portrayed on the worst skid mark on the underpants of human decency? Like, why is that okay? Like, Adam Aslam, beautiful voice, incredibly good-looking guy, like, could be, like, you know, an actor in his own right, has this once-in-a-generation voice, and Mahesh Bhatt is like, hey, you know what? I'm going to put Imran Hashmi's face on that voice. What? Like, why? Why would you do that? Terrible choices. Terrible choices.
Manipulating piece of crap. Anyway, yeah, so he obviously had that song. One of the other big jams was, oh my, here goes my headset. Here we go. We're back. So again, I realize now you guys can see everything, so we're all good.
Good, it's explained.
Yeah, explained, exactly. But then in Race, he had Belly Nazarme. Right, he had that. Yep. He went on, and I mean, he still continues to have a very, very successful Bollywood transition. And then we have Ali Zafar, who didn't really have the same trajectory as Atif Aslam. So, do you want to dive in a little bit more as to like what his career has been like thus far?
Sure, and yeah, I think this is a good way to kind of like juxtapose them, right? Because you've got Atif Aslam, who has become so recognizable in the Bollywood industry that a lot of people don't even realize he came from Pakistan.
Yeah.
Like, that's the level of stardom he's achieved through. There's countless songs that he's done now in Bollywood. He does still perform a lot in Pakistan through Coke Studio, etc. But I think he's a household name in both industries now. Ali Zafar, on the meanwhile, you know, he's this young guy who came up, has a very distinct voice also. I think his first big hit was Channo. So that was like the song that got him really famous. And then he had a few other songs, Edel Mere, Hukapani. Like, this guy has some really good songs. And he's a good looking guy. He's got like kind of like the features that would make an actor. And he kind of made that weird jump of let me be an actor singer in Bollywood rather than just a singer. So yeah. Atif kind of stayed in his lane. He knew who he was. He was, you know, a singer. That's where his bread and butter was, and that's what he's always been. Ali Zafar kind of saw this opportunity, let me be an actor as well, jumped into Bollywood, and he came in. You know, the one I think the probably the most recognizable for him is he was the lead in Tere Bin Laden, but he was also two pretty prominent side roles in Mere Brother Ki Dulhan with Imran Khan, yeah, and in Dear Zindagi with Shah Rukh and Alia Bhatt. So definitely, you know, not a household name. I think he's got some good hits, and you know, there's some songs that people definitely recognize him from if they heard it, but they might not even know that it was him singing it. You know,
yeah, he definitely gives me a little bit of Imran Hashmi vibes too. No disrespect for him. Yeah, but
if they had to pick one Pakistani singer to put Imran Hashmi's face on, I would have been totally fine. Zafar has kind of like a Chichora face, and Chichora vibe to him.
He does. You know? I'm just saying, just match the vibes with the vibe, you know? Match the wavelength to the same wavelength, you know? Then we talking. I do remember on Kon Banega Crorepati, we mentioned Fawad Khan and as well as Ali Zafar, but that's the India's equivalent of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, hosted by Amitabh Bachchan. In case you all didn't know. But Fawad Khan was on that show alongside Sonam Kapoor promoting Khoobsurat. And then many episodes later, Ali Zafar comes on, I believe with Ranveer Singh and Pariniti Chopra. They're both on. And Ali Zafar did a whole tribute to Amitabh. He's saying, Jahan teri nazar hai, my name is Anthony Gonzalez. Chuke mere man ko. He said all these songs, and just amazing. Again, it shows that they are connected, and they are really, at the end of the day, these artists are just trying to just do what they do best, and that's entertain. Right. So there really isn't that big of a gap, as you know, we or there shouldn't be as much of a gap as unfortunately there is.
Right. And I think that, you know, it's just an extension of the tension that we see between Pakistan and India and what they've had throughout their history. You know, you see a lot of exodus of talent because of that tension and because of the money aspect of it. But, you know, we've talked about some artists today that have really kind of bridged that gap. And I think you create that bridge. These are the guys we're going to look back at, you know, several years from now, hopefully, and say these were the trailblazers. These were the guys who recognize that art doesn't know any boundaries, and you know, wherever you can express yourself best is where you belong. And
yeah.
You know, we have love for these folks, Fawad, Mahira, Atif, Ali Zafar, all these other guys, and there's more. You know, we just selected a few to kind of talk about. But I hope that trend continues. I hope that we kind of see this bridging between the two countries, and we hope to see some people coming from Indian side over to Pakistan. And you know, at the end of the day, maybe it'll be these industries that bring the two countries together. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? And to touch upon some of the work that Myra Khan, even Fawad Khan, are doing, they have an upcoming movie called The Legend of Mola Jatt, which the release date is still TBD, still right up in the air. But I know for a fact, from what I've seen from the promotions and such, it's a completed project. We're just hoping that it gets shot out or released sooner rather than later. But just we'll dive into a little bit more again in later episodes. But yeah, just something to keep aware of, and to let you guys know that, yeah, these guys are, they're still working out there, they're still doing their thing. So
I think the Pakistani movie industry is going to continue to grow. We'll definitely talk about it more in a separate episode, but you know, a lot more movies are starting to come out of Karachi now. We had, you know, movies like Buddy Hut Love in the last few years, which looked very, if you look at old Pakistani movies, they don't look anything like Bollywood. Like, they look like they're like three decades behind somehow. But Buddy Hut Love and movies, you know, in that same kind of vein, starting to look like modern day Hollywood and Bollywood movies in terms of production quality. Yeah. I think that's a step in the right direction. So,
and Buddy Hut Love, they had that freaking great song. It was a jam. Yeah, in case you've heard that song and you liked it, yeah, that came from Buddy Hut Love, which is a Pakistani produced movie.
Yep.
We'll
put some of these guys' greatest hits on Desi Standard Tunes. Thank you so much for joining us. Right back into things with season two. We're excited. We kept this episode kind of light. We're going to be diving into some real stuff as usual in later episodes. Follow, subscribe, comment, you know, on Instagram, Twitter, wherever you can find us, and leave us reviews and ratings on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you're listening to this. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
We'll be around. See you all soon.
All right.
Peace.